Blog Talk Radio.
Tracy.
I'm Tracy.
Yeah, I'm just Tracy. And I'm just playing Bill.
Just playing.
Just playing.
Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Just playing Bill. Yeah, I was thinking about the party today a little bit.
Yeah.
And suggesting that it would be a good New Year's resolution if you have not joined the American Conservative Party to do so.
Yes, it would.
To actively participate in the political process for the course of the next year.
Yep.
To donate just a couple bucks, you know, $10 here and there to good conservative candidates.
Yep. That would be a good thing. Hey, you know what? Here's a perfect opportunity. We have January the 19th. We have a senatorial seat out of Massachusetts. It's Ted Kennedy's old seat. And guess what? Scott Brown, the Republican, is running neck and neck with Coakley. Neck and neck in Massachusetts.
You know, I really hope that Brown wins.
Yep.
But of course, the Senate will have to do some major renovation if, in fact, he does.
Oh yeah.
That kegger that's kept underneath, you know, Kennedy's, you know, chair has to be taken.
Hey, I heard he'd been sober for 5 months now.
I'm not supposed to laugh at those things.
I know, I'm sorry.
Victoria's birthday is today.
Oh, cool.
One of the things she wanted to do is she wanted to go see It's Complicated, the new Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
So we went to see that today. And there were I laughed at it. It's an old fogey movie, I mean, realistically speaking. You know, everybody's in that, in my age group, our age group, and so it's oriented towards that. There's a hellacious amount of really good, you know, sidebars in there. Victoria did not like it that much, mainly because Meryl Streep giggled, snickered, and laughed her way through the entire movie.
I see. Okay.
That's kind of how I behave with an Obama speech.
You know? Yeah.
Giggle, laugh. You know,
yeah, right. Point fingers.
You've got to be crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an okay movie. So if we could. Yes, put some money down on Mr. Brown in Massachusetts. That would be a nice start.
That would be a great start.
One of the reasons why Harry Reid absolutely wanted to get the Senate done on health care reform before. You know, before the Christmas break. Of course, it is probably coming back to him unless the Democrats in the House of Representatives, you know, fold on their principles. Okay, so why am I saying unless?
you know, actually, though, you know, that could happen. And it could happen because of Bart Stupak.
Are you suggesting that he's going to agree to the Senate bill and not throw his own principles under the bus?
Nope. I'm thinking that he's going to say, wait a second, we need to strengthen up that abortion issue.
Well,
Not saying that you make abortions outlawed. Just saying no federal funds go to it.
Any amendment kicks it back to the Senate.
Yes, it does.
Any amendment.
They either have to pass it in toto, or it's got to go back to the Senate.
Well, my opinion is that Pelosi and Reid are going to try really hard to take the Senate bill and get it through the House. And, you know, talk about ramming it through. I really think that they're going to try and ram it through, call to order, and put it right up for a vote.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I think that's what they're going to try.
I think that's what they're going to do, and any motions for debate or anything like that's going to be, you know, ignored.
Yep.
And
easy to do in the House too.
I think what they'll do is they'll try and do that. They'll try and do it, you know, right then and there, and
yep.
You know, people will either, you know. You know, I think there's going to be enough people that would think that they could get away with it, that it will happen.
Hmm. Well, we're going to find out. Because I think your assessment is right. I just don't have any confidence that the Blue Dogs are going to let them.
I'm sorry. I don't believe that there are sufficient numbers of principled Democrats in the House of Representatives to make a stand against it. I know.
Could be. That's certainly possible.
Pretty, you know, that's kind of my opinion as far as things go there. Have you made any New Year's resolutions? Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Nope. I don't make them. Just don't do it.
In general, I don't make resolutions. I only make predictions.
Aha! I feel predictions coming on.
No, I haven't made any predictions yet.
Oh, okay.
You guys will have to wait until next week when I actually sit down. And on the 31st, I make predictions. No, I spend most of this week, historically in my personal life, reviewing my performance over the past year.
Aha. Uh-huh. And?
This year, I give myself a B+.
Oh, really? A B+? Let's see. Where have I heard that before?
I haven't gotten anything done, but I made a really good effort at it.
Hey, there you go. Well, I mean, effort equals a B+. Every time.
I wish I could get away with that, but I've got a 15-year-old daughter that we don't let get away with. Do as I say, not as I...
Yeah.
That doesn't work too well.
Yeah.
You know, with a 15-year-old. Which, by the way, since we had our last show, I do now have a 15-year-old daughter.
Yes, you do. I'm up from 14. Yes, indeed.
Up from 14 to 15.
Yep.
Well, I asked her tonight at dinner, I said, did you guys have a good Christmas and birthday? And CJ said, I had a really good birthday.
Ooh. What happened to Christmas there?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We were informed that we were to buy nothing expensive.
Yeah.
No games, no computer stuff, no camera stuff. No toys. No clothes.
Really?
That kind of puts a damper on exactly what you could get.
Yeah, exactly.
So, she did give me a list of things that she wanted.
Yeah.
And she got everything on that list.
Cool.
But it was a rather short list.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Short list. She was very unhappy with the fact that once all the presents were And on Christmas Day, what she does is she goes under the tree and she takes out all the presents and she puts them in piles in front of us.
Yeah.
So that we can all open them together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she looked at Victoria's pile and my pile and she goes, I have the smallest pile. And I said, well, considering the fact that I told you guys that there was nothing that I wanted,
right.
I don't know why I have a pile at all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I said, you know, and you got everything you wanted for Christmas that was on your list, so, you know, I don't know what the problem was.
Yeah,
and,
really.
And I started thinking about the list that of things that Obama wanted for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Gitmo closed.
Yeah. That's going to be open.
Well, the thing about it is, of course, you know, let's assume for a second that tomorrow, 4C5 Air Force heavy lifters, you know, drop into Guantanamo.
Yeah.
And remove every single prisoner out of there and fly into Scott Air Force. I don't know if Scott Air Force Base is still active or not.
I don't know.
Scott Air Force Base is south of Chicago. Used to be a logistics base, a training base and a logistics base. You know, fly into, you know, there and then by train move them or vehicle move all the prisoners to the Illinois federal prison, then he could say that, in fact, Gitmo is closed. But, of course, you and I would say, well, actually, Gitmo isn't closed. They just moved the damn place.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, and that's the whole problem. Even if he gets every single prisoner out of there and moves them up to Illinois, he hasn't closed Gitmo. He just simply moved Gitmo. You know, from Cuba to Illinois. So I don't think that that's going to be a Christmas present he can say that he actually got from Santa. Healthcare reform has not been signed. It's not on his desk, so that's not a present that he got. You know what? I got a question for you.
Huh.
Barack Obama and his family are not actually celebrating Christmas, right?
Not that we've heard.
So what's he doing on a Christmas vacation?
Good question. Good question.
I mean, you know,
if you don't celebrate Christmas, how can you have a Christmas vacation?
With all due respect to, you know, my Jewish friends, I mean, I don't know that they take Christmas vacation. They may take
they've got
Hanukkah. They may take some time off for Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But they don't take a Christmas vacation.
No. Hmm.
Maybe it's Kwanzaa for him. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't said, although there was some question about Eliade, but, who knows?
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, okay.
Now, of course, based on what I said on last week in the green room, I should be taking Christmas vacation because I like Christmas presents. Anyways. All right, so what other little goodies did Obama want for this year that he hasn't gotten? Cap and trade is all but dead.
That's as about as dead as it gets in Obama land.
He got his stimulus plan, but I would... Hey! I got dog people going on here.
Yeah, really.
It's a radio show. Be quiet.
Exactly.
Damn kid. The...
Sounded fierce, though.
I'm sorry?
Sounded fierce. Yeah.
Yeah, go lay down. Both of you.
Yeah.
Go lay down. The cap and trade is dead.
Guantanamo
hasn't
isn't
saved
closed.
Stimulus hasn't saved or created any jobs.
No.
I think, you know, Obama should get... Well, he can't get coal. Nobody can give him coal because that's, you know, too big of a carbon footprint.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and besides that, I mean, all the coal companies are kind of, like, defunct and stuff because he's necessarily going to raise their taxes and stuff.
know. All right. So let's see what if Obama didn't get any Christmas gifts. Has he given any Christmas gifts?
Well, according to him, he gives more than he receives. Now you might try telling that to the British.
Well, you know, he gave Interpol a huge Christmas gift.
Yep.
Wrapped it up on a quiet little evening when nobody was paying attention.
Yep.
Delivered it without anybody talking about it. And first impression of that little goodie was, you know, not such a big deal. Not such a big practice, you know, present. You know, in the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then somebody suggested that it might be a backdoor to ICC. IIC. No, it's ICC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
International Criminal Court.
Right.
And I thought, maybe. And then I have a question.
Okay.
Can you be arrested for interfering with a diplomatic, you know, courier?
I don't know specifically, but I suspect yes.
Well, I think I'm more concerned about it because it was something that seems to have come out of left field.
It did. I mean, this was an executive order.
Barack Obama has allowed Interpol, the European international-type police force, to have the same type of diplomatic immunity as ambassadors from foreign countries to this country have.
Yes.
In other words, you cannot serve a search warrant on a diplomatic organization or person.
Exactly.
So Interpol cannot be subject to search and seizure on American soil.
That's true.
That is kind of an extension. Now, I looked at it as, you know, generally speaking, our FBI, when they travel to another country, are not subject to search and seizure in other countries. Unless they violate the law there.
Right.
Or they come in without prior permission.
Yes. That's true.
So, that was my take on it originally was, you know, I didn't see any particular problem. It was just, you know, handshakes both sides. Now I'm not so certain because if it was no big deal, why all the cloak and dagger? But my initial response to that was because everything he does is cloak and dagger.
Yes.
So, you know, if he was giving a present to his wife, he might do it on a Friday night at 8 o'clock so that nobody knows. You know, it's just a habit.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens to be that way.
Yeah.
So I consider that to be a pretty big present that he gave out.
Yeah.
I am a little more concerned about it.
I am.
What other present? Have you thought about any other presents? And no, I don't consider, you know, his gifts to foreign leaders to be specifically. Well, you know, he's given Iran a really nice present.
Oh, he has. He had a chance 6 months ago to come down squarely on the side of the dissidents in Iran. And he didn't take it. He belatedly and weakly took that opportunity recently, last couple of days, and I think the effect is zip.
No one believes him.
Well, who can believe him? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, so what else you got up your sleeve?
Words.
Yeah, more words. Yes, indeed.
That little card, words.
Yeah.
Is this.
Uh-huh, Let me load up the teleprompter here. gifts. Gifts that he has given.
He gave lots of money to Hillary's former campaign.
Yes, under the radar and in a roundabout way, but yes, he did that.
He's given a whole lot of money to Acorn.
Yes, he has.
A whole lot of money to SEIU.
Oh, bunches of money to them.
He gave chunks and chunks to Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Fannie and Freddie.
Fannie and Freddie. Oh, yes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They
just took the caps off of them.
Yeah, you know, here, spend as much of our money as you want. Thank you
yep.
very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Geithner and what's his name, Bernanke, have given $2 trillion? $2
trillion?
I wonder if we can put Obama's name on the card underneath. You know, Merry Christmas, Bernanke and Geithner, and then a little letters at the bottom. Me too, O.
Yeah, right. Oh, yes. Yes, he did.
Please vote for me next week. Next year.
Yep.
He has not given Congress any presents.
No. He hasn't given them anything. In fact, he has withheld all of his stuff.
You know, considering the number of times that he's actually been on TV, is he using the bully pulpit? Would you consider, of all the speeches he's given, let's just call it the last 6 months, okay, has he actually used the bully pulpit? Or has he just gone up there and said, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee?
I guess, actually, when you put it that way, it's been all I, me, my. Without any substance to it.
I mean, you know, some of the people on the left said that Bush never asked the American people, you know, to sacrifice for the wars.
None.
And to the extent that there's any validity to that comment, you know, Bush did not get up there and say, you know, cut back, reduce, you know, help us support the troops. I mean, he didn't tie those two things together. But at the same token, you know, Obama isn't asking the American people to suffer. He's just kind of ramming it down our throats.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not for the benefit of Afghanistan or Iraq.
No, not yet.
And I would suggest to you that you might say the health care reform is a Christmas present to the people that don't have health care, but considering that so few people are actually going to get covered by the piece of crap that came out of the Senate, I'd suggest to you that wasn't very much of a Christmas present to them either.
No, it wasn't. He did not do anybody any favors with that piece. In fairness to him, he has outsourced that entire exercise in legislative writing. He has had zero input into it.
I would suggest to you that he's damn near outsourced the presidency.
Well, that's true also, but, you know.
The jobs Americans don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let's bring in a Mexican. What the heck?
Vicente Fox would certainly be up. No, I don't want to go there.
No, you don't want to get there.
I don't want to go there.
Yep.
Because, you know, he wouldn't settle for Vicente Fox. He'd go, hey, Rob, come on up here.
Well, I guess the only thing that I can say that's good about that is nobody's going to run against him. Everybody's going to run against Pelosi and Reid. And from that standpoint, it's all good.
Well, that's an interesting point of view.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to run against him.
Nobody in the Democratic Party is going to run against him.
Well, and nobody in the Republican Party is going to run against him. Everybody is going to run against Pelosi and Reid. They're going to run against the out-of-control Congress.
You know, I would suggest, I would probably agree with you next year. But the reason I say that is, you know, for the congressional races, I agree. Nobody's going to run against Obama because he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done any. I mean, he's done little things that could have serious consequences. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the big ticket items, he hasn't done anything at this point for them to hold it against him. You're right. I think they're going to be able to run against the Congress, you know, all over the place and do that. But I think he's going to be in a position that he's going to... Do presidents worry about their legacy in their first terms?
Well, typically no, but he's not typical.
So let's assume that he considers that there's going to be... He's either going to have to work at creating a legacy so that he can be reelected. He's going to have to show that he's done something, and nobody in their right mind is going... Let me think about that for a second. I was going to say nobody in their right mind is going to buy into him running again from the center as a moderate. Can I say that? How many people... nobody in their right mind would do that, but there's a whole lot of people that are not in their right mind with regard to him, so...
Yeah.
Is there enough of them for 2012? I don't think so. I don't think the independents are going to give him a hard time.
You don't think that they are?
I think they will give him a hard time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Especially, well...
But see, that's why I...
health care reform is passed.
But see, that's why I think that people are going to run against Reid and Pelosi.
But he has to take credit for things, you know. After the congressional election, he will have to take credit for things. He'll have to, otherwise, you know, somebody's going to be able to run against him, going, he said this, he said this, he said this, he said this, he said this. And we have nothing to show for it. And he had Congress, you know, in the palm of his hand for 2 years.
Oh, I think that's going to be true after the 2010 elections. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the left is just going to go berserk if the Senate bill passes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But will they hold it against him in 2.5 years from now?
Well, they won't. But I think that the independents and the conservatives will.
Unless someone like Hillary runs against Obama in 12.
You know, that's a possibility.
Then I think the left will abandon him like a piece of, you know, dog doo-doo in the yard.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to watch. I have no idea how that's going to turn out. I mean, I don't have a clue. I really don't. But that's the only one currently that has got a. that has an opportunity.
And you know, I was kind of having a conversation with somebody over the weekend. On the, you know, we had friends come over on Christmas Day for dinner,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about, you know, who potentially could be running in 12. We weren't specifically talking about the Democratic side, but on the Republican side, you know, I've said this to you, I've said it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want Palin and Bolton, but somebody said, you know, Bolton doesn't have any desire, and I ran into that problem. That's one of the things that I realized with Fred Thompson was, you know, people talked him into running.
Yes.
He didn't want to run.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't a burning thing in his desire. He got talked into it. You know, and that burning desire just wasn't there.
Exactly.
You know,
and if you don't have that, forget it.
Right. If you don't have it, it's just not noticeable. You know, Bolton doesn't have it, so there's no sense of him putting him there. And, of course, I don't know what, you know, Sarah's going to do. I think she wants to run. I think she has to be in a position, you know, to have somebody as a running mate in mind.
Yeah.
That makes that ticket palatable, you know, for a greater majority of people.
Exactly.
Let's assume for a second, you know, that it isn't, which is the right now the Tea Party dream ticket right now, is Palin Bachman.
Hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Which,
yep.
Anytime somebody suggests it, I'm saying no, 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 no. I like both of them. I think both of them are solid conservatives. I think both of them would be wonderful in their positions. You know, neither one of them have enough foreign policy, you know, credentials to piss in a pot. And I think our problems on the foreign policy side are just really getting started.
Yeah.
I think for whatever foreign policy problems we've had over the last 8 years are going to pale in comparison over the next 3 to 5.
Yep, absolutely.
And so whoever runs in 12 is going to have some serious foreign policy cred, and Obama and Biden are going to prove exactly how little they have over the next couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just take a look at our latest one on Christmas Day. I mean, that's the, third or fourth direct Islamist terror incident in the United States. This isn't like off in some foreign country someplace. This is in the United States. At some point in time, people are going to say, wait a second, and that's starting to happen. I mean, you know, we're starting to talk about, gee, you know what, maybe we ought to be profiling people. Maybe it isn't the wicked blonde-haired grandmothers that are blowing up planes. It's dark, swarthy Middle Eastern men. It's very dark Yemeni men.
Well,
and,
you know, I'm not serious about this.
Yeah.
And I've tried to decide, you know, exactly how, for all the wrong reasons, I think this is a good idea. Okay, they can eliminate, as far as I'm concerned, every single security feature that they currently use on airlines. Every single one of them. They can eliminate it completely. Okay? If the Muslim community says, we will voluntarily submit to searches of our persons and our luggage every time we step on a plane.
Yeah.
Now, that creates in me, you know, a comfort level for things, but at the same time, token, you know, it just smacks wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Feels
yeah,
wrong
know.
from that point of view. However, you're right, it's the profiling aspect of it.
Yep.
You know, and I said it yesterday. I am going to profile every Middle Eastern or Muslim-looking man I see on a plane from this day forward.
Yep.
No exceptions.
Yep.
No hesitation.
Yep. Yep.
You know, because I catch myself doing it now when I walk into environments where I see, you know, a number of young Muslim men walking around like at the mall.
Yeah.
You know, I watch them for a couple minutes. You know, is their behavior consistent with, you know, shoppers in the mall? You know, I look at them and they say, yes, it looks like a bunch of guys just heading to the mall doing some stuff.
Right.
Then I look away and go on my merry way.
Mm-hmm.
So I am profiling them in my head.
Yes, you are.
I am profiling
them. Yep.
And I, frankly, you know, if somebody wants to call that racist or bigoted, you know, fine. I walk down dark alleys on Saturday nights with my eyes wide open, my senses on alert, and ready for problems.
Yes.
I am not going to walk into a mall or an airplane and turn those senses off.
Off. Nope.
Simply because, well, it might offend somebody.
Gee gosh.
Too bad.
Yeah. I mean, this really doesn't make any sense. LO profiles. You don't hear anything about LO. You don't hear about how terrible they are. You don't hear about, you know, how evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty they are. They simply profile. And that doesn't mean every Muslim gets checked. It does mean when you got somebody acting nervous, when you've got somebody acting out of the ordinary, when you've got somebody that doesn't quite fit the pattern, you pull them aside. And you say, how are you doing? Where are you going? What's happening? But you do it.
Right. It's just, there's, you know, I was raised on the south side of Chicago. I was raised in an environment where blacks and whites were at each other's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was merciless with my own opinions and thought process about how I approached blacks in the city.
Yep.
You know, if there was, you know, a hint in my head that I should be more cautious just because, you know, a black man was walking down the street, you know, I'd berated myself. I said, why are you pulling that shit? You know, pack that away. It doesn't belong there. You know, there's no reason to have that opinion. And it got to the point where I walk around the city of Chicago, and I don't give, you know, a second glance, at, you know, at black men, black teenagers walking down the street. It's just, they're not there anymore to me.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that those senses say, be alert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't respond that way anymore. And that's my preference. There's no reason why I should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But okay. When I see, you know, Middle Eastern men, you know, those senses go on there. And I want to give you, I'm not small.
Yeah. Okay.
When I met Roger, my ex, a long, long time ago, we were roller skating. We met at a roller rink. And Roger is about 6'3", weighed about 195 pounds, you know, right around 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not skinny, not even big. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Tall and solid.
Right.
He ran into me and fell down. I didn't fall down. He fell down.
He fell down. Okay,
fell
fine.
Down. Okay, he ran into me, and he fell down. Part of the reason was I was a much better skater than he is.
Ah, okay.
But
okay.
Much, much better. And as a matter of fact, at that point in time, extremely good was I. So, you know, you weren't, you know, you could actually give me, you know, a block into the boards and I wasn't going to come off my skates.
Yeah, right.
I was going to work in the city of Chicago, and this was obviously a while ago, and we were waiting for a bus, and this little Middle Eastern guy was going to get on the bus first. Now, in the city of Chicago, we get to go on first.
Right.
That's just kind of normal. You know,
right.
Kids first, you know, women with children next, women, men follow up.
Right.
Not him. He was going on first. Really a bad idea because that door stopped right in front of me.
Oh, boy.
Now, and he probably weighed 130 pounds at the most. I was about 5'7". At the time, I weighed 280, 270, you know, and he bumped into me and bumped away.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned and looked at him and I said, me first. Talk about spitting disgust in his eyes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yep.
Yep. My sensitivity is high, and Christmas Day has just simply increased that sensitivity. And apparently, Sunday, everyone got the message.
Mm.
When the next guy just kept going in and out of the bathroom on the same flight.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, the plane taxied off to the thing, and there was a whole lot of people getting on the plane.
Yep.
That sensitivity level is up.
Yes, it is.
Right now, that sensitivity is up. And frankly, I don't have any problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it. Nothing.
I'm not planning on flying until April.
Until April?
Yeah.
Cool.
April, we're going to go to California to look at for some places to move to.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Okay.
Theoretically. We may not be moving to California.
Ah. Uh-huh.
We might move to Chicago, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, not at all. Jeez.
If we're going to leave because of the winter, Chicago is not an improvement.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sorry, it's not. Yeah. I love that city. You know,
yeah.
Both of us really love that city, and CJ would die to live in the high rises in the city.
Oh, I'm sure she would. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
The purpose of leaving here is to get out of the winter.
Exactly.
So there's no reason for leaving here if we're not leaving the winter. Anyways, speaking of winter, was it 835 snow records last week?
Really?
I think it was 835. 835 new snowfall records last week, following 817 new snowfall records the week before. And
wow.
They continue to say 2010 may be the warmest year, or 2009 may be the warmest year on record.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
And if you look at the maps, and you can go on to, I think it's NOAA's website and see the snowfall record maps.
Mm-hmm.
The snowfall records are everywhere. Everywhere. Including, I think it was El Paso, Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in Arizona, right on the Mexican-Arizona border.
Wow. Wow.
You know, snowfall records. So, you know, all over the country. All over the country. Most of it in the middle, but nowhere was excluded. temperatures, December is going to be probably the coldest December we've had in a long time here in Wisconsin. We are below average and have pretty much stayed there this month. Of course, we were in October, not so much in November. I think we were a little warm in November. You know, I don't get it. I really don't get it. You know, I know that there's global cooling going on, but they keep talking about global warming. You know, more and more of the good stuff is coming out where they're saying, you and I have talked about economics in the past.
Yes, we have.
Okay. I used an analogy in the last week. Okay. If our atmosphere were pennies, and there were 10 million pennies representing our atmosphere, 38 of them would be CO2.
Oh, boy.
And since over the last 100 years, it's gone from 38 to 39.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 10 million pennies, 38 to 39. Here's what I wanted to say about economics. What? Can I do this in time? Do I got time? I got time. Okay. The problem with economics is this. We have 300 million people in this country,
yep.
And if you take 100 people with the same education, the same income, the same expenses, the same lifestyle, and give them each $100 and put them into Walmart and let them buy whatever they want, they're going to come out of the store and you're going to have 100 different baskets of goodies.
Yes, you will.
That's the problem with economics. You cannot predict the behavior of 300 million people even if you plan around the all the criteria, income, lifestyle, education, you just can't do it.
Nope, can't do it.
If I went to, out of the 300 million people, if I went to 100 of them and I gave them each $1 million to spend as they want, do you think I could have an impact upon the economy?
No.
Okay. Why does anyone believe that out of 300 million people, I can take 38 of them and give them $1 million and have any impact whatsoever?
Exactly. I mean, it is ludicrous on its face. Now,
we have a caller.
Oh, really?
Area code 606. Where's area code 606? Caller.
Hi.
It's
Pam.
Hey, it's Pammy.
It's Pammy.
All right.
Hey, Pammy.
Well, Merry Christmas, and it's a little late, but Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi. Well, I kind of like the Walmart plan, but, you know, we need a lot more, the 300 million.
Well, the thing is, you can't change our economy by giving 38 people $1 million.
Right. That's
you
true.
You can't change our climate by impacting something that is only 0.38 of the atmosphere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to know where these geniuses come from.
They come from Harvard.
Oh, that's great.
Hartford.
Oh, gee. That's,
you know, that really is an interesting observation, though. With all of this brain power, with all of this education, you would think that somebody would have taken Econ 101 and would be able to apply that to not only our economy, but to global climate change, that you would be able to apply that to, bombing of airplanes. You would be able to have these people say, look, here's what we know is going to happen because experience has told us that this will happen. Instead, what you get is theory after theory after theory that has no relationship to the real world.
Precisely.
I'm sorry, but, you know, economists don't live in the real world.
No, they don't.
Well, tell me about it. I got a C+ in economy, in economics. And, you know, I'm trying to figure this sort of science. It's a theoretical science. And if I could not figure it out, boy, I could imagine that, you know, the experts could barely figure it out worse than
really
me.
Really easy. Economics is really easy. We have 9 minutes left, and I could do it in two.
I'm sure.
Everything you need to know about economics in 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Two
and
minutes.
These people go to school for years and years and years. And, you know, I think, you know, someone could take a 6-week course and do better than what these so-called experts are sending our way.
The problem is that the most common, this drove me crazy. When I first got involved in, when I went to college and I went to my first econ class, and the professor in the lecture said, in order to evaluate the economy, what you need to do is you need to take all the possible variables. Take one variable that you think is important, and all the others remain the same. You change that, and what's the outcome? And I went, whoops, excuse me, wait a second. You take all the variables that are involved in the economy, and we're going to keep all of them the same. We're going to change one variable to see what the outcome is. And he goes, that's correct. I said, excuse me a second, but exactly how do you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm sorry. If you change my income, you're going to change my spending. If you're going to change my spending, then somebody else's income is going to change. So you can't just take one variable, change it, and then say that this is going to have any bearing on reality.
Exactly.
But that's exactly what the climatologists are saying, too.
Exactly.
Change CO2. Everything else stays the same. Change CO2. Everything changes. No, wrong. Dumb.
Yep.
I left that econ class. You know, this is stupid. It's a waste of time because these people are nuts. They have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I'm not going to waste my time, and I left. 6 months later, I went back to another econ class because, of course, I got somebody else different, and they're going to say something smarter. And what's the first words out of their mouths was, if you take all the variables that make up the economy and you keep them the same, just change one, you see what happens? That's economics, and I went, you guys are idiots. Come on.
Yeah.
How can you say that? You can't do that. It just doesn't work.
You can't change one variable. You have to be realistic about it. Yeah.
So you know what I studied in economics?
What's that?
Econometrics.
Ah.
I studied the numerical process of measuring economic behavior. And I was told that I was actually pretty damn good at it. The reason I was good at it was my variable lists were actually fairly large, rather complicated, and they dealt with each other, which meant that most of my processes were serial correlated, which gave me all kinds of problems that I had to correct for.
Yeah.
But it was there. I mean, that's the point, is that it is very difficult to take economics and isolate one particular thing. Our climate is exactly the same way. It's very difficult to take one variable, isolate it, and say that changes in this particular thing are going to have this impact. You can't. It's not possible. Okay. 6 minutes left. Here's your 1 minute lesson for economics. This applies in every single economic situation anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. You ready? Pay attention. I am going to give you $100. I am going to tell you to go into this grocery store and I'm going to tell you to buy exactly $100 worth of groceries. When you do that, you're going to come out and you're going to have exactly 10 bags of groceries. Congratulations. Next week, I'm going to take you to the same grocery store. I'm going to tell you to buy exactly the same groceries. I'm going to give you $100, and I'm going to send you into the store. However, the store, realizing that prices have gone up, increased the prices by 10%. Now, when you go in and buy exactly the same number of groceries, you're going to get to the checkout and find that you are
nine bags.
Yep.
You're going to come out of that grocery store with 9 bags of groceries.
Exactly.
Why? Because the price has gone up, you can buy less.
Right.
Okay? Now, realizing that this has happened and the store has now lost all these extra sales, the store goes, well, that's kind of stupid. So they reduced the price now by 12%. 12%? Yes, because they have to get rid of that 10%. They're actually going to reduce it down an extra 10%. So that now you want to send you into the grocery store with $100, you're going to come out of the grocery store with 11 bags of groceries.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, you come out of the grocery store, why do you have 11 bags? Well, because the prices went down, you were allowed to buy more. Okay? That's it. That's the entire lesson. I did it in 1 minute and 15 seconds.
There you go.
All economics, every single solitary piece of economics is there.
Yep.
Well, you know, I'm a very old-fashioned sort of traditional girl, and my economical statement is, you know, saves a penny.
Yeah.
Just like my grandpa did. You know, see the penny, pick it up. If you keep doing that, and you only shop for what you need for, eventually you'll have more pennies than what you have spent. Unfortunately, these people that, you know, rule things, you know, aside from us, don't do that. They don't follow the rule of picking up the penny or saving the penny. You know, as obsolete as
the
penny is.
I to reduce the prices so I can buy 11 bags of groceries.
There, there you go.
You know, the economy is the same way. The government's the same way. Everything is exactly the same way. It all pies into that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that's your lesson for today.
Yep.
Pammy.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Tracy.
I don't know if I got a chance to say that to you online or not.
That's okay. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas.
I did have a good Christmas.
Excellent.
I hope you guys have a wonderful New Year.
I hope so.
Rip Warren Drunk. No, I'm only kidding.
And Merry Christmas, Bill.
Merry Christmas, Pammy, and a great New Year, and support Scott Brown.
Yes. Oh, Scott Brown, Massachusetts, and, oh,
yes.
Ron Portman, Ohio.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. And we are just hot on the tail of getting those fellas. And a few more. I think the last count of conservative, you know, sorts were up to 4, but I really can't name the other 2 off the hand, you know.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All righty. Have a really great New Year.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you both.
All righty?
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My prayer.
All righty. Bye. Bye-bye.
That was very nice of her.
Yeah.
The climate scandal, the behavior of Bernanke and Geithner is going to come home to roost.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
I don't think for all of the positives that people are thinking that 2010 is likely to be any better than 2009 and probably in some ways considerably worse.
Well, see, I'm an optimist, though. I'm thinking it's going to get better.
Well, see, I'm an optimist, too, and I think that, you know, if I was actually being pessimistic, we could be in, you know, we could have a glowing city and civil war going on in the United States if I was being a pessimist.
Yep.
I'm being an optimist by thinking it's going to be better. Anyways. All right.
All righty.
So, 2009, you and I are done with.
We're done.
Okay? Next week, we're going to do 2 things. We're going to have a prediction show.
Oh, boy.
So, Bill, come up with your predictions.
Yep.
For 2010.
Yep.
We're going to give, I'm going to name the person of the year, in my opinion, for 2009.
Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you what that criteria is next week. Bill, do your shout-outs. We got 40 seconds.
I'm going to shout out to Just Me Pammy and to Arkansas Traveler, to Memorati if she's out there and listening, and hope you had a really great Christmas and a really good New Year.
Political Moxie has joined us, I think, tonight.
Oh, cool.
I hope he did. I don't remember. Okay. Bill.
Yeah.
Hope you had a good Christmas.
I did.
Have a good New Year.
I will.
You and I will talk between now and then, but for everyone else, we will see you in 2010. Good night.
See you then.
Green room time.
Yeah. So tell me why you don't think it's going to be a big year for Republicans.
Politically, here's my problem. Okay, I do agree with the Republican leadership at this particular point in one particular way.
Yeah.
I believe that the conservative base that is getting loud and vocal and active is still a rather small subset of the larger conservative base that actually exists in this country.
Ah.
And I think that that the Republicans are basically right, that the conservative movement is going to pull off enough. I think they're going to be surprised. I think they're going to surprise the Republicans. I think conservatives can pull, as a general rule, probably 15 or 20% of the vote. And that's a big enough margin to strip Republicans of any significant lead that they might have against the Democrats.
Got it.
Okay. Now, here's why I think it may not have any. While I worry about that, I don't think it'll have as big an impact as it could, and conservatives will do better, and the Republicans will do better than we think. Well, I think they'll do better than they should have or could have. I don't think they'll do as well as we believe, and I mean that includes Republicans and conservatives, because of that issue. I think they'll do better than expected from my point of view, only because I really think the Democrats are going to start eating their own.
Okay.
I think as much as the conservative movement may be dividing the Republican Party, I think the left is going to do their own version of 2006 and 2008 in Congress.
Hmm.
The Republican version of 2006 and
2008. Yeah,
I think they're
right.
Going to piss off so much of their base in so many different ways that with Obama not on the ticket, I think a significant majority of their radical left-wing fringe base is going to say, screw you, and not come out.
Got it. Yeah.
And if the conservative movement, if the Tea Party movement can engage people that are not online, because I think in a very big way the Tea Party movement is an online phenomenon, not in its entirety. I think it's getting beyond that point now. It has, but I still think it's an online movement. And I think it needs to move beyond that. And if it can get to the people that are not online literate as far as political moxie is concerned, then I think we'll do a lot better.
Yeah, right.
Conservative.
Yeah.
And I think Republicans, we're going to get their heads handed to them.
Oh, man.
But the problem is the primaries happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they do. And, in fact, for those folks who are listening in on the Green Room, now if you're going to take over your precinct, your committee, your county central committee, now is the time to do it. You can't wait. You can't wait until the primary to get involved. You have got to get involved sooner than that. I know I am. I mean, yes, I am a part of the American Conservative Party, But as long as we have a two-party system, particularly here in California, it's a winner-take-all kind of a thing. My best defense is going on offense and taking over my county central committee, because that gives me a say in who's going to be the nominee.
Well, I would like... Go ahead.
Well, and you know, that may not be true everywhere. I mean, some states are caucus states, in which case you can organize around those. Other states are open states, and anybody can vote for anybody. But here in California, I have to be paying attention to what's going on before the primary.
Well, my problem is I'm leaving.
You're leaving?
Well, I'm going to California or going to Illinois.
Well, yeah, you are.
It's kind of hard for me to, get serious about getting involved here because of that. At the same token, I'm not where I'm going to be, and where I'm going to be when I get there, it's going to be too late to be involved.
Yep. I guess the only thing I can tell you is if you come to California, Chuck DeVore is the guy that you need to be looking at. If you're going to Chicago, I don't know. I'm not up on Chicago politics.
Oh, sure you are.
No, I'm not. All I know is that there's a whole bunch of crooks there.
That's right. If you want to know about Chicago politics, all you got to do is look at what's going on in the White House right now.
There you go. If that's the case, we can write Chicago off.
Apparently, based on my conversation with my parents, there are a lot of people that are writing off Chicago right now.
Wow.
Long-time people that have been Democratic supporters and such. Are really not happy campers right this very moment.
Wow. Wow.
The city that works isn't right now.
Yeah.
And if you're complaining about it to the right people, you get paid off.
Ah.
I don't mean money. I mean, they'll do whatever you want to do to shut you up.
Gotcha. Yep.
But if it's a general complaint... Not so much.
Yeah, right.
Chicagoans are not in happy campers at this particular point, but we won't be moving to Chicago as far as I know. If we move in to Illinois, it'll be in the northern suburbs, which tend to be more Republican. Unfortunately, they tend to be more Republican.
Yeah, as opposed to conservative. Yes, indeed.
Right, and right now we've got a Republican former governor in prison.
Yeah, right.
I tell you that Chicago politics doesn't change a whole lot just because the letter behind your name does.
Nope. I know. It's actually pretty incredible. I look at that and say, how in the world do those people do that? I mean, how in the world do they get so corrupt that they think anything can happen with impunity? It just boggles my mind. It truly does.
I've actually had some problems with people that are, when we talk about global climate change. Remember, part of that conversation was going on, Christmas Day with the press came over. They said, well, with all of this stuff that's going on, the question is, why? What is in it for the scientists to corrupt themselves and corrupt their data, corrupt their process in such a way? And, my answer is because that gives them grant money, it gives them prestige, it gives them access to the policymakers. But, of course, the answer is, yeah, but why would they do it that way? I mean, wouldn't they still have, if they're doing good science, wouldn't they still have access to all those things? And I said, well, no, it's not a crisis. You know, right now they have a crisis, so they can, you know, push more towards that.
And
of course, you know, the response is, but why would they do that? That's not a question that I can answer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for us to look at these scientists and go, why would you do this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is almost as if there is some other agenda, some other mode of operation that's taking place that isn't talked about.
Well, the only thing that I could come up with, and it wasn't a good analogy, was think of Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Okay.
Had it all. Yeah.
You know, standing on top of the golf world, standing on top of the money world, you know, having, you know, a smart, beautiful wife, wonderful kids, you know, having it all and just self-destructing.
Yes. Yep.
You know, why? I mean, what would drive him in that thing? You know, and it is a liberal, I'm sorry, it's a liberal thing. And I don't know that Tiger Woods is liberal, but, you know, given the results, I would suggest that it possibly is there.
Yeah, probably.
It is this idea, liberals are good for this. They are always in the moment.
Right now.
It is what makes them feel good right now.
Mm-hmm.
What makes they want to respond to things right now. It is not what are the consequences, what are the long-term impacts, it is right now. There is no deferred gratification. There is no deferment at all. You know, this is how I feel. Respond to me right now, here, in this feeling. Even if they absolutely know that it's transient, even if they absolutely know that, you know, that to engage upon those feelings right now is not long term, they don't care. They just want it dealt with now. You know, and you see it over and over and over and over again, you know, as far as how people react towards conflict. You know, this is bad. Fix it right now. Well, you can't fix it right now, but you gotta fix it right now. You know, crisis mode.
Yep.
You know, and that's the only thing I can say is that, you know, of course, the people, the climate warmers at this particular point say, this is a crisis that must be dealt with right now. We have to take care of this right now.
Gee, where have we heard that before?
Over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
And I've told you the story. I learned throughout my 20s, every time a disaster was happening, the worst thing I could do was to try and respond to it right now.
Yeah.
Because every time I did that, I made the situation worse.
Yep.
If I would sit down, wait, think about it, think about the consequence, think about how things are going, not try and deal with it right now, but instead, you know, let things progress in a way that I understood the progression, I understood how to deal with things. If I waited, even when it seemed like I had to absolutely act right now, if I would just sit and wait 90% of the time, the resolution would come. It would come at almost the last possible moment, but it would come. And if I acted before then, I would almost always eliminate the possibility that that resolution was possible. And so I learned that no matter how bad the situation was, to sit down, shut up, and wait, rather than respond right now. And, you know, over and over and over again, you know, in my life, it is, you know, the resolution has come right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually without me having to, you know, go through all kinds of gyrations to try and come up with some kind of resolution.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No lying, no stealing, no cheating, you know, the resolution would come. But liberals haven't learned that lesson.
Hmm.
You know, it has to be dealt with now.
Mm-hmm. Certainly fits the facts as we know them.
But you know what? It's not a satisfying answer.
Well, it isn't. But it's the right answer. I mean, you know, the same thing happens on the right when they talk about, oh, we're going to repeal this, and we're going to repeal that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And I'm sitting there shaking my head and saying, you know what, folks? No, you aren't, at least not before 2013. And if you think you're going to do that, then you all need to be thinking through what are the steps that you've got to go through. But I don't see him doing that. What I see him doing is, oh, we're going to repeal this, we're going to repeal that, appealing to their base. And as a consequence, nothing is going to happen.
Well, I'm of the mind that you're probably right, that there is something going on that we just don't know about, that's just below the, somewhere below sight, below our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I'd be hard-pressed to figure out what it is.
I don't know. I mean, you know, first off, you have to be able to think like them. And for the life of me, I can't. I mean, even with the insight of, okay, what is it that feels good right now? Okay, let's do that. What does that do? Because when you get to the what does that do, that's when you lose it. Because it isn't about what does it do. It's about, oh, okay, we took care of that. Now we'll deal with the next crisis. So I can't get my mind around that. And I'm generally pretty good at putting myself in somebody else's shoes and saying, okay, where are you coming from and how is that working for you?
Right, because, you know, in those situations, I look at people and go, you know, what's in it for them?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at what's in it for them. Okay, let's take Michael Mann. What's in it for him? Well, there's obviously a certain amount of prestige.
Yeah.
You know.
Certainly research dollars.
You know, but research dollars do not make research scientists rich.
No.
More often than not, when they think it makes them rich, it makes them, you know, prisoner number 1177443.
Yeah.
Governments don't like, you know, misappropriations of funds, and it gets in researchers in a whole deep load of shit all the time. So, you know, federal grant money doesn't get researchers rich. You know, speaking fees might get him rich, but I don't think he's commanding, you know, $250,000 speaking fees. You know, $5,000 speaking fees, $10,000, but that doesn't make them rich either. So, you know, is he looking for the Nobel Prize in science?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, I think in those instances it maybe makes sense from their point of view.
Well, there is one other possibility, and this truly scares me more than just about anything else. They're true believers.
Oh, Lord.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
You know, the problem with true believers, and this applies in so many ways.
Many different ways. Yes, indeed
so
it does.
is that, you know, contradictory evidence is simply ignored.
Yes, it is.
It's not consciously ignored. It's simply not seen.
Sure.
And any attempts, you know, to bring that that information to the forefront will be, of course, violently fought against.
Oh, absolutely.
You do not screw with somebody's belief.
No, God, of any persuasion.
Of any persuasion. Jesus. No. You know, I can walk up to a Muslim and say, you know, your religion is a gutter religion and has definitely no basis. Yeah, that's going to win me lots of friends and influence.
Yeah.
It's
going to
influence a lot of people. It's not the way that I want it to, though.
No, I know.
Same thing, you know, our friend Sue, who's a very, she kept her house at 58 degrees to help on global warming.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Okay. She is disgusted.
Oh, really?
With what's going on with ClimateGate.
Oh, Lord.
Now she's not willing to trust anybody on either side.
Ah, okay.
Well, no.
Okay.
No. You know, I said this to you last week. You know, having, you know, an anti-science point of view is not the response that we want to ClimateGate.
You know, it isn't. Not in the bigger picture, but in the very small picture of your friend, that's the very best possible outcome. Because she will progress from there.
One would hope.
Well, she will.
I mean, she is a doctor. It's not like she's an idiot.
God, you got to wonder how come she got taken in then. But oh well.
She's also a lib.
Yeah, well.
No, because, you know, and that's the other part of that problem. And in any case. Cut it out. They're probably barking at the deer. We have deer walking through the yards around 10:30 at night the last couple of nights.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? A little fresh venison there? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not interested in going to jail.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
You know, poaching out of season is not looked upon very well here. So that's my question. That's my position. That's my problem. Is that realistically speaking, there is no good answers to why they would believe it, except for they're possibly true believers, which is about as scary a thing as you can have in a bunch of scientists.
Yep, that is indeed scary. I mean, the whole idea behind science is you neither believe nor disbelieve. You simply let the data take you wherever it's going to take you. But if you're discarding data because it doesn't fit with what you believe, you got a big problem. And by extension, the rest of us have a big problem.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
It is. All right.
Yep.
I'm done with ClimateGate for the moment.
Yep. I'm done. Period. Jeez.
All right.
Oh, it's been a long week. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get to go upstairs and we'll have some birthday cake for Victoria. She didn't want to have it because we went out and had a very nice dinner.
Oh, cool.
Red Lobster, and Victoria had lobster tail and tapia, and, you know, we had a nice dinner. CJ ate a pound and a half of crab legs.
Yeah.
So she got a pound of crab legs for her birthday on Wednesday last week, and she had another pound and a half of crab legs there. She said she really loves crab legs, but she doesn't want any crab legs for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got that leg filled up then.
My hell week is over for another year.
Yes, it is.
I got my two birthdays, the anniversary and Christmas, taken care of.
Excellent.
Now we can go into New Year's Eve and just celebrate. And if we do so like we have the last couple of years, we'll be in bed by about 11:30.
Yes, indeed. I think we're probably going to manage to stay up for the ball dropping, but that's going to be about it.
Yeah, because you know what? They used to have a Chicago, big to-do in Chicago.
Yeah?
Not anymore. They have it in Chicago, but they don't do it in such a way as that we can see it.
Oh, really?
In Wisconsin.
Huh.
So,
So, yeah. What? You have to go with the East Coast one or something, or what?
Yeah, you got to go with the East Coast one or do something really local.
Huh. I'll be darned. We get the California feed, which is, I don't know, I think it's the New York feed revisited, but it's all good. It doesn't matter.
Otherwise, we settle in for the winter. My clients have told me to be prepared for January.
Oh, yeah. That's scary. What was it? 40? Hmm. 43% of California businesses, California small businesses, were either going bankrupt or were on the verge of it.
43%. That's a nice number.
That's a great
number.
Remind
me why I'm going out to California?
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, here's what I have to say.
Yeah.
I have someone that prepares, goes online and pulls up all the foreclosures that have happened in the seven counties surrounding.
Yeah.
That's our marketing for our Victoria's law practice.
Right.
On average, she brings in 60 or 70 envelopes back to me every 2 weeks.
Wow.
She brought to me 168 on Christmas Day.
Oh, my God.
And that's December.
Which is generally a slow month.
First 2 weeks of December, where companies have a tendency not to file until January.
Exactly.
And so that means that these are people that stop making their payments in September and October. Actually,
uh-huh.
August and September,
right.
When apparently we were starting to come out of it.
One would think, but you know how I feel about those numbers.
Right.
And incidentally, that got downgraded again, down to 2.2.
Right.
Yep. And I think it's going to go down some more too.
Well.
Yeah.
A big jump in the foreclosure filings around here.
Hmm.
And she said that she stopped with the 15th, but she could have gotten more.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
So, we're sending out on the next 2 days. Normally, we send out 60 to 75 letters every 2 weeks for
mm-hmm.
our marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending out 300 this
Lord.
Week.
Oh, Lord.
300. So, we'll see.
Well, I don't know if you follow Greg W. Howard on Twitter. If you don't, you ought to be.
He is somebody that I do follow.
Okay. He is postulating in the next 60 to 90 days a double dip and California goes broke.
Well,
now,
I
don't know where he's getting all of his numbers, but that's what he's postulating.
well, you know, I heard from, you know, the far fringe that California will declare bankruptcy in the middle of the middle of January.
Oh, boy.
Something that's never happened before.
No, sure hasn't. We've had localities that do that, but we've never had a whole state do it.
And from what I'm reading, whether it's declared or not,
yeah,
California is.
Oh, absolutely it is. We're $21 billion in the hole before we even get to this budget.
$21 billion.
Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody that said, you know, humanity has a great deal of knowledge, and we know lots of things. And I said, you know, our knowledge level is about the same as a newborn 3 seconds after it comes out of mama.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I said, you know, look up in the heavens and consider what you're looking at, and then tell me that our knowledge spans anything more than about as high as you can raise your hand.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's conceptually just... Oh, Billy. You know, I don't know. I am not afraid for the United States.
Okay.
I'm not. Because in the end, what did I say today? I think Obama is right. I think we need a civilian force.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And let's see, what are we going to call that?
I think we should call it the militia.
Yeah.
Hey, Obama, come and get it.
Yeah.
You know,
that really is true. Regardless of where Obama wants to take us, and regardless of his minions in Congress, if the American people don't want to go there, we ain't going. Period.
Right. I think, you know, it is clear that Obama has this idea. I'm president. I get to decide what we're going to do.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, there's a certain amount of limitation to that I think he fails to understand. And for some particularly strange reason, people that should know better, you know, are letting him believe it.
Yeah.
But you're right, and this is the one place where my faith is on, in my opinion, is on rock solid foundation. You know, the American people are not a frog in a pot of boiling water.
No, we aren't.
Okay.
I don't care how slowly or quickly it's going.
We're a very big old bear in a dark, quiet cave.
Yep.
And you can poke that bear a whole shitload, you know. But at some point in time, the bear's going to go, you know, I'm done with this poking shit.
Yeah, right. Leave me alone.
And, you know, when the bear to be woke up, the bear to be pissed.
Yes, indeed.
And that's kind of where I'm at this particular point in time is, you know, and we've been saying it, people are beginning to wake up. The bear is beginning to wake up. And at some point, Obama is just going to, and I believe that this is true, Congress and Obama are going to go, we can get away with this, right up until the American people go, done.
Yeah. End.
Done. And then I think, I don't think it's going to be civil war. I don't think it's going to be civil war. I don't think that there's going to be this major disruption in the overall day-to-day life of society. But I think the American people will just absolutely lock down the federal government in such a way as there's going to be no doubt whatsoever. The American people are going, done.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I agree.
And I think done is going to occur sometime between August and October. And then come November, done is going to be written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, I said this to Kirsten. You know, she said, you know, they're getting ready to try and steal an election. I've heard, been hearing that for years, and it's a whole load of crap. But this is what I have to say. You can't steal an election when it's a landslide.
That's true. You can steal
close. You can only steal an election when it's really, really close. And right
yep.
now, you know, you can't steal an election when there's a landslide.
That's right.
And that's what I'm looking for at this point.
Yep.
Is when the American people say done, we're going to have 435, you know, House races that are going to be landslides.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, there are some safe ones in there. But all the rest of them are, they're done. And
done.
I'm not even convinced that Republicans are going to be immune to that. I think the mood is throw them all out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. That's my opinion. That's been my opinion since 06.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Sorry, you got some good people there, you know, that are there that are doing the right thing. Yeah. You know,
you've been drinking the water too long.
Yeah, you know, you raised the guy that you have in your district who's a really good guy.
Wally Herger, yep.
You know, how come, you know, maybe this is happening in your district, but how come this guy is not standing up, you know, stomping his feet, screaming at the top of his lungs, stop this bullshit?
You know, I don't know. I know Wally well enough to know that he doesn't like what he's seeing. I know that I'm getting a whole lot more communications from him, and I don't know if that's in response to the election cycle or if that's, you know, in response to what's going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know this, and I know this. Okay.
Yeah.
If he's really pissed about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then he shouldn't be telling you he's really pissed about what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, he should be jumping up and down and screaming, you know, stop this shit, back in D.C.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not hearing it, then, you know, he's saying that to you because he thinks that's what you want to hear. And back there he's going, yeah, my constituents are happy. You know, I'm feeding them plenty of red meat. But,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you need, I can take care of it for you.
Yep, 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 yep. Very, very few in the House that are doing that. The Senate is a different story, but even there's probably only four or five. Michelle Bachmann, bless her heart, is she's
jumping
standing
up and down and screaming.
Yeah, you know, and I sure wish Wally would be there with her, but he isn't.
And that's the problem.
That's exactly the problem. Because he needs to, even if it's in a losing effort, he needs to be out there making the points.
Right.
And he's not. I mean, he is in emails and that kind of stuff, but he's not out there where the press can see him.
Right.
Michelle Bachmann is.
Right.
Yeah. Which is why she's kind of up there in the top two or three for the presidency thing in 2012.
All right, we've only
yep.
got a couple minutes because you know it's going to slice and dice us at 40.
Yep, and my phone's going to go kablooey on me.
All right, I'll talk to you over the weekend. Everyone else,
okay.
Thanks for staying with us on the Green Room.
Yep.
We'll talk to you in 2010.
All righty. See you later, Tracy.
Bye, Bill.
Night.